ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 1, Text 19 to 33. I'll read the Sanskrit for 19, then translations up to 33, then we'll chant 33 together. Nishamya tadvachastasya bhagavan prapitamaha hotur vyakti kramang gyatva babashe ravinandanam. The most powerful great grandfather Vasishta, after hearing these words of Manu, understood the discrepancy on the part of the priest. Thus he spoke as follows to the son of the sun god. This discrepancy is the objective. This discrepancy in the objective is due to your priest's deviation from the original purpose. However, by my own prowess, I shall give you a good son. Shukadeva Goswami said, O King Parikshit, after the most famous and powerful Vasishta made this decision, he offered prayers to the Supreme Person Vishnu to transform Ila into a male. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, being pleased with Vasishta, gave him the benediction he desired. Thus, Ila was transformed into a very fine male named Sadyumna. Sadyumna. O King Parikshit, that hero, Sadyumna, accompanied by a few ministers and associates, and riding on a horse brought from Sindhu Pradesh, once went into the forest to hunt. He wore armor and was decorated with bows and arrows. And he was very beautiful. While following the animals and killing them, he reached the northern part of the forest. There in the north, at the bottom of Mount Meru, is a forest known as Sukumara, where Lord Shiva always enjoys with Uma. Sadyumna entered that forest. O King Parikshit, as soon as Sadyumna, who was expert in subduing enemies, entered the forest, he saw himself transformed into a female and his horse transformed into a mare. When his followers also saw their identities transformed and their sex reversed, they were all very morose and just looked at one another. Maharaj Parikshit said, O most powerful Brahmana, why was this place so empowered? And who made it so powerful? Kindly answer this question, for I am very eager to hear about this. Shukadeva Goswami answered, great saintly persons who strictly observed the spiritual rules and regulations and whose own effulgence dissipated all the darkness of all directions, once came to see Lord Shiva in that forest. When the goddess Ambika saw the great saintly persons, she was very much ashamed because at that time she was naked. She immediately got up from the lap of her husband and tried to cover her breast. Seeing Lord Shiva and Parvati engaged in sexual affairs, all the great saintly persons immediately desisted from going further and departed for the ashram of Naranarayan. Thereupon, just to please his wife, Lord Shiva said, "Any male entering this place shall immediately become a female." Now, text 33, responsively. Tata urdvang vanang tadvai. Purusha varjayanti hi. Sa chanuchara sangyukta. Vichachara vinadvanam. Tata urdvanam. Tata urdvam. From that time onward, vanam, forest, tat, that, vai, in particular, purusha, males, varjayanti, do not enter, he, indeed, sa, sadyumna, in the form of a woman. Cha, also. Anuchara sangyukta, accompanied by his companions. Vichachara, walked. Vanat, vanatvanam, within the forest from one place to another. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In Bhagavad Gita 2.22 it is said, Vasangsi Jirnani Yata Vihaya Navani Grinati Naroparani Tata Sharirani Vihaya Jirnani Anyani Sangyati Navani Dehi. A person puts on new garments, giving up old ones. The soul accepts new material bodies, giving up the old and useless ones. The body is just like a dress. And here this is proved. Sudyumna and his associates were all male, which means that their souls were covered by male dress. But now they become female, which means that their dress was changed. The soul, however, remains the same. It is said that by modern medical treatment, a male can be transformed into a female and a female into a male. The body, however, has no connection with the soul. The body can be changed either in this life or the next. Therefore, one who has knowledge of the soul and how the soul transmigrates from one body to another does not pay attention to the body, which is nothing but a covering dress. Pandita Samadarshana. Such a person sees the soul, which is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, he is Samadarshi, a learned person. Om Jnanatimurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jaina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwara Vrishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is a further instructions to Parikshit Maharaj by Shukadeva Goswami. And amazingly, being spoken 5,000 years ago, and how relevant it is today. You know, we see so many people in society, they sometimes are born in a male body, but they feel that, well, actually I'm meant to be a female. And they get it in their heads that this is what it should be done, and they take hormones and different things, and psychologically they start acting and get the medical treatment necessary so they can transform the body, because they think, I'm not happy in this male body, so if I'm a female, I'll become happy. Or a female may feel that this female body is not really fitting my personality, so if I was a male, I'd have a much better chance of being satisfied in my true nature, you know, from the heart. We see that, and I know people, friends, say, yeah, it's amazing how sometimes you can be born in a male body or female body. And she said, no, I was never a male. You know, we're so much in the bodily concept, or I was never a female, because at the present moment we're identifying with our particular body and thinking that all this philosophy and all this knowledge is all well and good, but you know, I'm me. I have a certain understanding of myself, who I am, what I am, and everyone in this world is ultimately trying to minimize their distress and optimize their happiness. But this is the world of duality, because once we have a little happiness, what comes next? Distress comes again. So we're going through this cycle of happiness and distress, happiness and distress. And Manu, very powerful, saintly progenitor, he was a little dissatisfied that he had a female daughter, although love was there. Wasn't like he was totally like insensitive. But still, they prayed to the great-grandfather of Vasishtha that, you know, maybe I can also get a male, because continue the dynasty, continue the whole family heritage. This is very important. We see the battle of Kurukshetra was between family, you know, the Pandavas, Kauravas, this dynasty, that dynasty. We hear of so many, historically, so many dynasties are there. And sometimes the king or the emperor, he's in great fear. If the queen does not produce a male child, then gets another queen and another queen. We know the whole story. Sometimes they have hundreds, thousands of queens, but they need to continue. This is all while in the material world. But the human form of life is actually meant to please Vishnu. This is the purpose of human life, because all other species, 8,400,000 species of life are there, plants, aquatics, animals. So from the animal species, we finally get the human form of life. In the human form of life, we're all trying to enjoy and be happy, but we have to know the secret. The secret is to please Vishnu. Varnashrama, Charvita, Purushena. This Varnashram system was set up by Krishna in a very scientific way so that one can behave like a human being, and even though he's in family, in society, and has his responsibilities, he carries them out according to the direction and instruction of the Supreme Lord, who is the Supreme Director. See, Krishna, he's giving knowledge. Prabhupada was being interviewed, and the interviewer wanted to know, what do you think of Aravinda, or what do you think of, you know, this yogi or that yogi? Prabhupada said, what business do we have with them? Krishna is our leader. They're not better than Krishna. Krishna is God. Everyone's accepting Krishna as God. So if God is speaking and giving directive, how you can become happy, free from distress, how you can get free from the cycle of repeated birth and death, because we're identifying with this body because we're in the material world. We're not disconnected from Krishna. We're always connected to Krishna, but we're covered. We're covered over. Just like Krishna is the supreme fire, and the spark comes out of the fire. As long as the spark is connected to Krishna, it has illumination. It has, you know, the same qualities as a fire, and exhibited more so. But if it does not associate with that supreme fire, it becomes almost extinguished. So Prabhupada gives the example, birds of a feather flock together. So if one is simply utilizing his human form of life for hearing from and associating with materialistic people, those who are interested in sense gratification, those who are interested in conquering Mother Nature by acquiring great wealth, many, many possessions, good family, good birth, all these things, they're being misled. But those who see that although my father had a good education and he had a good job, still he's not happy, he got diseased, and ultimately he died. Everyone's dying in this material world. And material endeavors, at the end of the endeavor, there's no profit, there's no gain. Imagine you're working hard for not only daily, but throughout your whole life. At the end, what is the result? Zero. Nothing. You may say, no, I have a big bank balance. You're not leaving with that big bank balance. You've labored your whole life thinking that I will benefit some others, my family members, my children, my society, my nation. But that kind of endeavor is a waste of human life. So Krishna, he repeatedly is giving guidance and giving understanding. And you see how when we were reading the different translations, first said Uma, and then Ambika, then Parvati, because someone may get confused. Well, what's Shiva doing with Uma and then Parvati? No, it's the same person, Durga, Uma, Parvati, Ambika, many names. The goddess, the material energy. Lord Shiva is very, very powerful. And the great sages, those who are total renunciates, self-realized, they're emanating brilliance and light. They're coming to get instruction and guidance from Lord Shiva. So this is the meaning of success, or one who's enlightened with yoga. What is the yoga system now? Very popular in America. Prabhupada says fat ladies go to the yoga system to help reduce fat and help their digestive system. And it's not that we're mocking yoga, because real yoga means to link with Krishna. And nothing wrong with staying healthy. You know, we see that even our security department, they're exercising and people are walking and swimming and running and doing many things, watching their diet, because we want to utilize this instrument of the human form of life for serving Krishna, ultimately. And what is the perfection of yoga? Last verse in the sixth canto. And the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Yoginam api sarvesham madgatin ataratmada shadavam bhajate yomang same yukatato mataha. Of all yogis, he who abides me with great faith So there's some prerequisites there. We need actually to develop our faith. Determination, enthusiasm, render service to Krishna. Arjuna inquired, why are you telling me all these things? You know, I'm a soldier, a family man. No, you're my friend. That Krishna is his friend. So Krishna's revealing this knowledge. So this pastime, it has many, I'm sure, lessons and purposes. And then we'll see later on how it is that because Sudyumna was a little distressed that he's in a female form, Vashishta gave another benediction. Okay, you're a ruler, you have to rule. So 1 month you're male, next month you're female. it gets a little confusing. You think, oh God, I'm just adjusting to this male body, and then, or the ladies, I'm adjusting to this female body. You know, men are from Mars and females are from Venus or something. You know, we're from like two different planets, but we're not males. We're eternal spirit souls. We're not simply the covering. But while we're covered, we have a certain responsibility to behave in a certain way. But if you're confused and diluted, then you may want to go for the operation and convert yourself to something else that you were not born as. This is Kali Yuga, and I'm sure it's just the different yugas are described in the Bhagavatam, how in Satya Yuga people are virtuous and illuminated, had great memory, and all good qualities were within them. Krita, Satya Yuga, very auspicious age, longevity, long life, because they were meditating, they were focused on how to utilize their human form of life to reawaken their spiritual consciousness. And that brought them happiness. Treta Yuga comes, then a little bit discrepancy is coming in there. All those people are still having good qualities, but there's a little bit of adulteration. And as the different yugas progress, each yuga is a little bit shorter. I think Satya is 1,800,000 years. And then Treta is 1,200. Dwapara, 800,000. Kali Yuga, 400 some thousand. Roundabout. Lagbag, you know, more or less. But in Kali Yuga, in particular, in Dwapara Yuga, people are very chivalrous, or, you know, proud, very charitable. Kings and ruling kingdoms. Their dynasties were happening. We read about some of the histories. Although, very quickly, people get covered over and people have no conception. They think 2,000 or 3,000, 4,000 years ago was, oh, unbelievable. You know, you're getting close to the caveman ages or something. And all these philosophies and all these theories are a product of Kali Yuga, that someone has to introduce a new idea, a new philosophy, a new way of living our life to achieve the goal, the secret of success, secret of life. Lord Kapila, Lord Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, the Guru Parampara, they're not creating something new. They're giving us the same eternal wisdom which is ever existing, that was spoken hundreds of thousands of millions of years ago. So just imagine, here we are, very little people, some big people too, but most of us are very insignificant. We're born in Kali Yuga. We're fortunate enough to have a human form of life. Maybe last life was male or female, animal, we don't know. Maybe we perform some pious activity, or maybe it's all just good fortune. But for sure, what's being spoken by Krishna, by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, by the six Goswamis, I mean, it was almost just a very short time ago, the Goswamis were personally instructed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna himself. In this Kali Yuga, Chaitanya and Nityananda have appeared in order to again re-establish the principles of religion. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata dhyutanang adharmasya tadatmanang sajamyaham. Again and again Krishna is coming, because the nature of material life is that everyone wants to become independent or proud. Because submission, Arjuna and Krishna were speaking, you know, friendly talks, do this thing. When Arjuna became overly frustrated, he says, okay, now I'm bewildered, I don't know what to do, Krishna, I surrender to you. So this moment of surrender, the tar diri pranipate na pari prashnena sevaya upadikshanti te jnanam jnanas tatpadarshana. Nobody wants to surrender. Why should I listen to you? I know. I also know a lot of things, you know. Who are you to tell me what's right, what's wrong? That's natural. We all have ego. I saw one little cartoon. The surgeon said, I think everything will be okay now. I cut the ego out. So, you know, you should start thinking more clearly now. So our clarity of thought is becoming foggy sometimes in December, January. In Vrindavan is heavy fog. And so I know one time I was picked up at the airport, took us like 6-7 hours to get back because you go inch by inch. And Prabhupada also explains in the ocean, great fog, they stop in the water and they blow the horn so that there's no accident. So when you can't see properly, right now we're maybe not fully appreciating vision. We have vision, we see there's steps. Especially here, people are laying down everywhere, offering obeisance, so you could easily trip over and fall down. That's what's happening. We're blinded by the fog of material desire. Because we want to enjoy this material world, we're making every endeavor, every arrangement, and attracted to the philosophy that helps us to become enjoyers. I was studying TM, Transcendental Meditation, with Maharishi Mahesh Yogi before coming, you know, into Krishna consciousness. Oh, it's okay, you can eat what you want or do what you want. Just chant this mantra and you're going to get super consciousness. So people want to hear that a simple method, just you get this mantra, this initiation, and you can still carry on and, you know, doing what you do to enjoy in this world, and you'll achieve success. In one sense, it's similar, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being very kind, very merciful, seeing the degraded condition of the conditioned souls in this world, has given us the special Maha Mantra. We heard the glories of the Maha Mantra. And although once chanting the holy name, one can be freed of all sins. But all the acharyas are stating that I've wasted my human form of life. I have no attraction for the holy name. I'm simply, you know, taking care of family and business, and I've not surrendered unto you. I'm in the bed. This is the feeling of lamentation. Even in Christianity, they claim that, you know, we have to repent. You have to be sorry about being simply misguided and wasting your life, committing sinful activities, you know, that you go for confession. I confess, yes, I've done this and I've done that, and horrible, okay, I forgive you. Ah, I feel so much better, I'm relieved. But then again we do it, and again we do it. So how to gain the strength yeshan tvantakatang papang, you know, that determination, that fixed determination, that I want to stop this cycle of birth and death. I want to awaken my Krishna consciousness, my love for Krishna. And in this lifetime, I want to go back home to the spiritual kingdom. Prabhupada often would say, in this very lifetime, you go back home to the spiritual kingdom. How? I'm so sinful. I have so many desires. Krishna says, yes, sarva dharman parityaja mamikam sharanam braja. Moksha is not a big thing for devotees. Bhakti, this love, we want to awaken our love. We've forgotten Krishna. Connection is there, but we're turned away from Krishna. We need to again reawaken, rekindle the fire of Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, is taking the message of the Guru Parampara, of the Goswamis, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he's giving us a very illuminating, very clear direction how we can achieve that goal. If you have a very good map and you can see very clearly how to get from point A to point B, and you also have somebody along with you who's gone through the path and understands all the, you know, watch out here, there's a speed trap, and there's a distraction here, distraction there, because distractions are coming regularly. You know, if you let your guard down, if you're fighting a battle and you let your guard down, then they can cut your throat. So in training, they always, you know, train how to defend yourself against the Maya, or the opponent. So Maya is there to help us, to toughen us, to make us strong. But the reason why we're taking this body and that body, karmana daivana trena, that for so many lifetimes, our desire has been going this way, that way, this way, that way. We perform good, some so-called good activities. They're all bad in this material world. We think, oh, let me go to the heavens. Okay. All right, that didn't work. Come back down. All right, heck with it. I'll do whatever I want. Go to the hell. Oh, too much suffering. So it's almost like you're trapped in the maze and there's no real exit from this labyrinth, this maze, this you know, entanglement. Sometimes people get guides. You want to see everything properly. You don't want to be cheated. You want to go very effectively, very quickly to your destination. So Prabhupada is our guide. Srila Prabhupada is our guide. We may have differences. We all come from different backgrounds, different color skin, or this or that. Oh, you know, I'm American, I'm Russian, I'm Indian, I'm Chinese, I'm black, I'm white, I'm African, my heritage, my culture. People, Prabhupada, even in the 70s, when the Western devotees from Europe and other places were coming, he said, you know, we should treat each other in a way that, on a spiritual platform. That, because even if one is born in a chandala, dog-eating family, if he takes proper guidance and initiation and behaves according to that instruction, he can become Vaishnava, best of devotees. But if one is born in a pukka, Brahmin family, performs rituals and austerities, but he does not become a Vaishnava, then he's not achieving the goal. So it's not the external covering that's giving us the opportunity for awakening our love for Krishna. Because Krishna consciousness is meant for everyone. And this is very strongly preached by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Srila Prabhupada, very clearly when Lord Chaitanya says, every town, every village, you spread this message of Krishna consciousness, then you could become guru. Jare dako tare koho Krishna upadesha maragai guru hoi tare desh. What does he mean, every town, every village? Did he mean every town and every village in Bharatvarsha? At that time, long time ago, Bharatvarsha was all-encompassing, the whole world. Everything's originating, you know, from Bharatvarsha, where the Lord had so many incarnations and so many. Someone sent me some pictures of some of the ancient temples in South India. So magnificent. Such must have been done by mantras, by power. Just because it's not, when you watch some magic show, we're amazed. How do you do that? You know, such magic. You know, you see little magic shows and people are amazed by that. You see what Vishishtamuni did. Oh, you want to be a woman? You want to be a man? You know, they have this mantra, this power. And he had that power how? Because he prayed to the Lord. He prayed to Krishna, and Krishna was pleased. Okay, and you think, well, why give him that power? Because the whole material world is created to satisfy, like a little baby, you love your child, but he's so demanding, he wants this, I want that, I want this, I want that. Okay, take it. Well, it's no good for me. Oh, well, you wanted it, so here, take it. So Krishna is like a loving parent, sees us whining little bachas, little kids, you know, we're crying and screaming. I want a kingdom. I want wealth. I want happiness. I want sense gratification. Yes, go for it. Here it is. But at the end, if one is fortunate, he sees that all this endeavor ultimately will not make us happy. And when one comes to his senses and awakens his consciousness, he thinks, I have to put a stop. I don't have the ability on my own. I'm weak. It says the mind is so powerful that even a man of intelligence, someone who's very respected for his, he's very, very intelligent, even he can be bewildered. He can also be thrown off course. So we're just begging, like Kulik Shekhar Maharaj was saying that, now my vision is clear. I want to take shelter of your lotus feet, because at the time of death, the mind could get cloudy, the throat could be full of mucus and fear and bewilderment. Many things come. There's fear for everyone. There's bewilderment for everyone. But now, while we have clarity, and when we see the deities being worshipped, that's what Krishna wants. Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mang namaskuru. Think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me. What does that mean? So every day we're worshipping Sri Sri Gaurinitai, Krishna Balaram, Radha Shyama Sundar, Srila Prabhupada. That's worship. And that's how you remember Krishna. Always remember Krishna. Never forget Krishna. It's very simple, but the mind is so strong. How to do it? Constant practice and determination. And if one, neha vikramo na shosti na pratyavayo na vidyate swapam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahatobayat, if one even leaves Krishna consciousness, once bhakti is started, Krishna makes the arrangements to bring you again. But don't think that, I won't make it this time. Maybe next time. We don't know the circumstances. Don't take that gambling chance that, I started bhakti and then I'm guaranteed, according to scripture, that I'll be given good birth in a Brahmin family. Maybe my next life I'll have better qualities where I can control my mind and senses. For now, I've done enough. We should not be bewildered. That's the mind's tricks to keep us here in this world, because this ultimately we have to have that kind of determination that I will dedicate my time to serving Krishna. One more little cartoon I saw. I told everybody, time for Bhagavatam class. It shows a turtle. Going very slow, the turtle, to Bhagavatam class. Time for prasadam, the stallion is running with great vigor and enthusiasm. So when it comes to renunciation, devotion, or dedication to guru, very slow, okay. Sense gratification, get the jet plane going, just fly right there. So we should see what are our values, what we want to get. We're not here in Vrindavan just for having a social club, or Vrindavan is meant for the Goswami. Srila Prabhupada wanted that those who are living in Vrindavan, because the topmost place, this is Krishna's abode from the spiritual kingdom. It's here, beyond all the glimmer of Kali Yuga. No glimmer here. The sewage and the dirt and the bad behavior of some things. But beyond all that, this Chintamani Dham, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Velochanena, that by this process of serving Krishna, worshipping Krishna, hearing the holy name, studying the scripture, that gives us, like when your phone, everyone has a phone, right? When your phone runs out of battery, what do you got to do? You got to plug it back in. But if you don't give it enough time to recharge itself and have good strength, then it's going to again fall. Get dim. So Vrindavan is a surcharged place, and most of the devotees come here to get charged up so that the whole year they can go enthusiastically serve and come back again. So we're here, the source of the charging place, so we also have duty and responsibility to stay focused on helping Srila Prabhupada, not that he needs our help. But Prabhupada would often say, my Guru Maharaj has blessed me by giving me so all of you to help me in this mission. Prabhupada was very humble. He wasn't thinking that I'm a great acharya, I've come to save all the fallen conditioned souls. When he landed in Boston, he felt poor, insignificant beggar. Prabhupada considered himself in a very humble position, but when he was telling the story how in dreams he dreamt that his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, ordered him to take sannyas, he was horrified. I have to leave my family? I have to leave my business? I will be very successful. And he was commenting how, now I understand it's my Guru Maharaj's mercy upon me that he pulled me out of material existence. So the Guru is pulling us out of the confusion of male, female, enjoy this world this way, that way. That might be a good thing. 1 month male, 1 month female. It's, you know, we'll know all about the experiences of both sides of the coin, so to speak. But does it matter whether you're male, female, and you have a palatial place with lots of money and so much opportunity for sense gratification? Ultimately, you're going to wither, you're going to get diseased, and you're going to die with fear and frustration. And so why throw all that away, that just for a few flickering moments of enjoying this material existence? This is why we need to very determinedly, in a mood of cooperation and surrender to Guru, carry out this process of Krishna consciousness. I'm sure it could have gone many ways. So many beautiful purports. Some of the scholars, the pundits, will give us more in-depth on all the deep meanings of all these verses. But I'm just seeing that the great sages came to get knowledge from Lord Shiva and Parvati, and circumstances were such that the sages thought, oh, we're not here at the right time, better we go to Naranarayan Rishi or, you know, Bhadrik Ashram and meditate a little further. And there was some benedictions and that in order to satisfy Uma, that anybody comes in this area will turn into a female. So anyone comes to Vrindavan will turn into a devotee, you know, a spiritual personality. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So there are a few minutes, if anyone would like to ask a question.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Guru, for the nice class. But my question is that nowadays everything is going to finish in all the natural things. Like there is water crisis, deforestation, several things are going on during the times of the Kali. So what will happen to the devotees who are there, and how they will sustain? Because devotees are depending on natural things basically. So how will it happen?
So you're saying that as Kali Yuga evolves, how will the devotees deal with the dissolution of... Well, Prabhupada said next 10,000 years, so Kali Yuga is in its infant stage, only 5,000 some years, 400,000 years. In the 12th canto, first and second chapters of Bhagavatam, it describes the symptoms of Kali Yuga, which kings will rule and how they will rule. And as it progresses, people will become totally irreligious. There won't be any devotees. And their lifespan will be 20, 30 years. And, you know, it's like all the bad things you can imagine will start manifesting and sprouting. But right now, even though there are many, many bad qualities, one good thing in this Kali Yuga, you know, the chanting of the holy name is there. Srimad Bhagavatam is present. And by Krishna's grace, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda's grace, that right now there's an infusion that, okay, now is the time to get out. Anybody wants to get out of the material world, here's a porthole. You know, there's an opening, there's an opportunity at this time. If you don't take advantage of this, you're thinking later, okay, they may, you say the next 10,000 years, but when you go to sleep, you can sleep for months, and some people go in coma for years, and they woke up, it was almost like yesterday. So hundreds and, you know, thousands of years could go by. But my understanding is after 10,000 years, things will get pretty much wound up as far as the devotional service is concerned. Then Kalki is going to be ready for getting on his horse and getting his sword and cutting the heads of thousands and millions of those who are pretending to be kings. Everyone is pretending to be a king or some powerful personality in this material world. That's the false ego. And Krishna, that's his bhakti, you know. He gets ready for the next Satya Yuga where good qualities come. So devotees now have an opportunity, and will have some opportunity for some time. But while we have this understanding and are in a human form of life and have been blessed by Srila Prabhupada, you should take full advantage. Otherwise, you'll be lost again in Kali Yuga. Huh? Yes? Rama. I'm always afraid when Rama's here because he's a Panditji.
Jai. Practically, we are not in Kali Yuga now. You know, three sannyasis in a day. One in the morning time, and another in the noon time, and another in the evening time. And it is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita.
It's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Yes. We are fortunate, we have given birth in this first sandhya.
We took birth in this first sandhya, okay.
Actually, we are not in Kali Yuga, practically. Just like in the morning time, everybody has their realization that it is not the day, it is not the night. Suppose 5 a.m. in the morning time. Mm-hmm. You can see it is not the day. So Krishna Sagara Goswami says for the next 36,000 years is the Sanyaka.
Achcha.
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came for the first Sanyaka. So for the only 5,000 years that he passed.
For the next 30,000. Okay. So everyone should go and enjoy now. Forget, you got lots of time. Okay.
We are very fortunate. So that Prabhupada also says, for the next 10,000 years, my organization will continue. So we are very fortunate. Even more fortunate on the Sati Yuga. In this time, yes, Krishna Mahaprabhu came, all the incarnations came. We have so many
facilities for Krishna service. So after
36,000, those who will come, they are
our Yes, you know, there's so much room for speculation and people. If it wasn't for Srila Prabhupada very clearly spelling out to us what is the conclusion of Krishna, Lord Kapila Dev, all the incarnations and the Guru Parampara, we take it for granted. Oh, you know, we're hearing the absolute truth. But people did not, if you didn't have proper direction, you would be totally confused. But as Ramakanta Prabhu said, that we're very fortunate, so don't lose this opportunity.
And what happens is giving God up completely in the body of the sannyasi person is now part of the body. So if you are interested in this body of the sannyasi person, they will be in myself. So my question is something like we think I'm such a guru Maharaj Sattva, I'm such a guru Maharaj Sattva, and this guru Maharaj Sattva is not my friend or his friend. Is it also the bodily consumption or is it very similar?
Yeah, it's very difficult to get off the bodily conception. You know, we start identifying, you know, the, with particular, these are my God brothers and God sisters, or this is my guru and it's your guru and this and that. All these things are different shades of coverings. You know, ultimately, Jivera Sarupoi Krishna Nityadas, we're all eternal servants and guru is one. If the message is being given by your Guru Maharaj, his Guru Maharaj, is the same as what Srila Prabhupada and Guru Parampara are giving, then this is very nice. But if we're, due to immaturity, siding with my Guru, my, you know, this is my, my Guru Bhai or whatever, then it's becoming a little bit cliquish, or, you know, like my dynasty, my race, my nation. So again, there's some discoloration there. We should be loving towards all living beings. What to speak of loving the dog and the ant in the street. The hunter, by Narada Muni's mercy, didn't want to even hurt the ant previously he was killing. So it goes to very deep levels of conditioning in this material world. And although we're chanting Hare Krishna and every day we're hearing we're not the body, still we have to struggle with that. So we're praying to sincerely chant, to sincerely serve. Krishna's got his hand behind everything. We think, oh, why are these things happen to me? Why is this person doing this to me? Why is that, you know, we like to blame others for our dissatisfaction. So we should not blame others. In the very beginning of Bhagavatam, when Parikshit Maharaj asked the bull, who has done this to you? This is Kali Yuga. This is the sin, you know, these challenges will be there. So focus on your hearing, chanting, then the fog will dissipate. The sunshine of transcendental knowledge by your obedience to Guru will be given to you by Guru and Krishna. And hopefully by that enlightening process you have to share with others. Krishna's given you this knowledge because he wants you to share it with others. So take this knowledge, and the more you share, the more you also retain it grows within you as well. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.